This program is brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Representative Samantha Kirkman has been in the Assembly since 2000. She is the longest-serving Republican currently in the State Assembly. She is perhaps best known for her role on the legislature's audit committee. She was sworn in this week as Kenosha's first female county executive, flipping a long-held Democratic seat. She joins us today. Thank you,
Good
Representative
morning.
Kirkman.
Yes, thanks for having me today.
Hey, congratulations on your victory.
It's been a whirlwind of 2 weeks since that day and that night, and it's still starting to soak in about this new role that I'll be a part of for the next 4 years. Exciting, very exciting. I feel like I'm coming home with all this great experience that I've gained in the legislature.
So county executive, nonpartisan office, but the fact that you were a Republican winning that seat has made some headlines. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I hope that I bring forth the things that I have over the last 22 years in the legislature. I've always been, yes, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, but I've always worked across the aisle. You know, I am taking over for Jim Cruiser, who was the minority leader, Democratic minority leader, when he became county exec in 2008. So he brought that that tenure with him, and I bring a different perspective. But we both, you know, care so greatly about the county and keeping it, you know, going forward. It's the gateway to Wisconsin. It's the first thing you see as you come up from the Illinois border if you're driving up I-94. We have great businesses, a great economic climate, great amenities, our parks, you know, natural resources, a little rural with. You know, the city, the lake, Lake Michigan is just beautiful.
So can the constituents of Kenosha County expect you to be governing in a nonpartisan or a bipartisan way?
I've always done that, and I've reached out to our county board that was just seated last night. Want to meet with them over the next couple weeks here, finding areas where there's common ground amongst a very diverse group of people, just like in the legislature. The county board is the legislative branch, and they represent unique parts of the county. So some might be from the city of Kenosha, and some might be from Paris or Brighton, you know, representing more rural areas of the county. But I know there's places that we can find common ground and work together.
You know, in the news after your victory, there were some political consultants who said that your win was the sign of a red wave, that it's kind of like this test of what might happen in November for Republicans. Do you see your race in that way?
It's hard to see it on a national level. I just looked at how hard we all worked. Again, people are very concerned in our area about public safety, hands down. So it could be something like speeding, the high-speed chases that are happening that are coming up from the south of the border or coming down from north of the border. Or it is the civil unrest from 2 years ago where people still, you know, are concerned about what happened to our community. I don't want it to define us. You know, Kenosha is healing, and we need to build on the things that we have. We do have a great group of workforce and people, retirees, and I want it to continue to be that. So that's really what I'm trying to bring forth as I'm meeting with people throughout the county, from every corner of the county.
You mentioned that the county is healing, and that has to do with back in August 2020, the riots and demonstrations that followed the shooting of Jacob Blake by a police officer. How far has the county come since that time, would you say?
I think we're rebuilding. We're in that phase. Obviously, there are still vacant lots where buildings used to sit, but it's trying to come and work with the mayor in the city to redevelop those particular properties, and reaching out to people that, you know, might have challenges. And again, there are 6 neighborhoods in Kenosha that are the most economically challenged neighborhoods, but it's working with the business leaders, the other stakeholders, to really bring forth ideas that make what makes Wisconsin great, what makes Kenosha great.
You had some harsh words for Governor Evers after the riots and demonstrations, and then made some statements about him trying to kind of rewrite history. Do you think he deserves some of the blame for how things escalated?
Gosh, I wish we could go back and change it. That Sunday evening that the incident happened, again, I have been and worked under five different governors, from Governor Thompson now to Governor Evers, and been through crises before of tornadoes, dramatic flooding, where governors reached out immediately to offer help and support and come down and see what was happening. I wish that Governor Evers was more engaged early on, because it could have changed the course.
So do you think that should be a main question that he's asked in the governor's race this fall?
I think for people of Kenosha and the state of Wisconsin, again, it doesn't matter what crisis you're having. You need a leader that is strong and willing to act very quickly.
There have been rising crime rates across mm-hmm. the state, a record in homicides in Kenosha County. What role will you play in trying to make things safer, make people feel safer in the
right.
county?
And this is where, as county exec, you need to work with the sheriff. And we have a sheriff race going on right now. So, again, working with the current sheriff and whoever becomes sheriff to focus our resources. What do we need? Looking at what types of crime are coming into our area, the violent crime to the high-speed chases that are coming across our county. So, again, it's working with our law enforcement partners and our police chiefs. We have Kenosha, Pleasant Prairie, and Twin Lakes chiefs that I really want to sit down and find out what their needs are.
What do you see as the causes of that, the rising crime in the area?
It's really challenging, because a lot of it is coming up from south of the border. And again, the chases stop. If somebody is coming through our county and it's a high-speed chase, if they get to Illinois, they won't pursue. Sometimes they'll pursue a little bit, but they just have a different focus down there, maybe reaching out to the law enforcement partners south of the border as well.
Are there ways the legislature can help? Do you see yourself going and lobbying on this issue?
Well, and this is where the two hats kind of intersect, and it is, one of those things that I want to use and come back to Madison and lobby for different things as I hear from my local law enforcement partners what is needed.
So clearly public safety a priority for you in your first year. What are other priorities for Kenosha County?
Well, we have great assets. And again, working with our business community first to make sure that we continue on the trajectory that we're on. We have Haribo that will be coming online soon. But we have longstanding companies like Snap-on and Jockey, a Uline at the interstate. And again, I have a strong relationship with many of those business leaders and business owners. So I want to continue that going forward.
You're a lifelong resident of Kenosha County. How have you seen Kenosha County change over these last two decades or so?
Gosh, I think about that often. As I drive through the county, you see that the interstate has really developed and popped. But we still have the rural character in the western part of Kenosha County that makes it unique in that it's in such an urban area between Chicago and Milwaukee. We have Lake Geneva that's in Walworth County. So we have the Lake Geneva on one side and Lake Michigan on the other side. So we have great places for people to recreate and come and spend that holiday weekend or that weekend, time off for fun. So,
in the past, counties have talked about their struggle to generate revenues for the services that they provide. Funding for human services continues to grow. Great need in that area. That's a big part of your budget. And counties say they've been limited in terms of property tax limits, cuts to state aid. What kinds of things will you be asking for of your legislative colleagues in terms of support for counties?
Sure. Well, just starting our budget process here in Kenosha County, working with the finance director and the team to see what, the $300 million budget that Kenosha has. The human services side is the largest portion and mostly comes from federal and state resources. So I'm not afraid to call my friends and ask for help when we need it. The previous county exec, he asked me. So, again, I expect to keep those relationships strong here in Madison.
Do you think there needs to be changes in the ways that counties are funded by the state?
Well, again, this is where you look at the levy, and then we have in Kenosha County, we have a very successful sales tax. About $21 million comes per year off the sales tax, and that's only been ticking upwards with the types of developments that we've been having. So, again, those are discussions for a later date.
We mentioned in the introduction your role on the Joint Legislative Audit Committee. That's been a big part of your tenure in the legislature. I think you're kind of known as somebody who she does her homework. She comes prepared with sometimes some of the toughest questions right. in those hearings. That committee has a role of monitoring the functions of government. What do you see as some of your most significant contributions through that committee?
Well, first off, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss working
Not
with
everyone would say that about that work.
No. I'm going to miss working with the state auditor, Joe Christman. He has and his team have been phenomenal over the years, and he was brought up through the process, worked in the Bureau before he became the state auditor. But again, we have, you know, the elections audit, transportation audit, food share.
Any one audit that you would say was the most significant in your career?
You know, food share and the child care audits early on really had significant meeting as I became the co-chair of the committee with Senator Coles. Again, the transportation one giving us a pathway to really look at our transportation funding because that's a huge part.
Have we solved that problem?
We haven't, but again, it gave us a good roadmap to look at different things and different types of funding sources. And going forward, you know, we had the UI audit during the pandemic, and I wish we would have started that process maybe a little bit earlier, but it was so hard to kind of, you know, we were in the midst of the crisis in those early months, and UI really, you know, was struggling. I still get contacts today with regards to that particular program. But Secretary Pahacek and I, with Senator Coles, have, you know, again, they've really made some significant improvements with regards to IT and bringing the system into the 21st century.
Let's talk a little bit about that particular audit. That's one of those audits that, you know, your committee was very busy over the last 2 years related to pandemic issues, unemployment insurance claims, one of those. I'd like to listen to your comments in a December 2020 audit hearing.
Like, our offices became a call center because, again, they couldn't get through to you. You know, and it wasn't until July, you know, that our staff actually got this. You know, I wish we would have had a round table earlier because, again, our staff really became the front lines to help you guys. The hardest part for me was telling a constituent that it was going to take 4 weeks to get back to them. Going forward, I hope that your plan includes partnerships that you never even thought of before, because this is all hands on deck, and this is still all hands on deck. If you're telling me you're still getting 50,000 calls a week, that to me seems extremely high, and it means that our constituents are still grappling with this issue.
So clearly a lot of Wisconsinites were affected by what was happening in the processing of unemployment insurance claims. Should the state have been better prepared? None of us were prepared for the pandemic, but is that one area we should have been better prepared?
You know, looking back, I wish we would have made the changes because, again, the technology was there. And this is now one of those things that I'm bringing into my new role as county exec, asking those questions about IT. And it's hard when you go back and you look at what happened. Our offices became unemployment offices to help people with the problems that they were facing. And that's the challenge. Nobody could have predicted everything that happened, but again, having a computer system that was into the 20th century, you know, or, you know, 21st century.
You know, other state agencies seem to be struggling with that as well. We just talked to the Secretary of Department of Safety and Professional Services. They also were behind the times in technology. Is there anyone to blame? Legislature could have demanded that. The governor could have demanded the upgrades in systems.
And we are looking at that right now. Again, professional services is where I get now that's switched. You know, it used to be at UI, and now it's that agency where they're so behind with regards to processing and doing things manually, where people send in a paper form. And again, during the pandemic, they were requiring a fax machine to send in your documents. But you couldn't get into a library or a bank,
a fax machine?
Right, in their home. So these are the types of things that, you know, I called to the secretary's office. I'm like, I will bring up constituents' unemployment, you know, files to you, you know, again, because they just can't fax it in. And again, we were all trying to grapple with things, you know, in a very quick amount of time.
So any lessons to be learned from the pandemic?
That we need to be forward thinking when it comes to IT and ask these questions of the different agencies to make sure that they are bringing their systems up to date and current to what we have for technology. There are a lot of resources that are available through the federal government, and that's how the Department of Workforce Development was able to bring on their system, was they use money from ARPA. Again, that's what it's for. I think professional services should be using the same type of dollars to quickly act.
Another recent audit that people are still talking about related to Elections Administration, your committee held a hearing on that in November 2021, pointing out that main issues that are continuing to be debated, whether or not the Elections Commission issued appropriate guidance or did they break the law. Let's listen to you in November 2021.
So you give pretty strong wording here in your recommendations that WEC did not follow the law when they gave guidance to our clerks.
You do.
Correct. So in there, you give us a finding and legislative consideration for correction of this particular issue. This has been something that, again, a number of my constituents have asked about. We want to make sure that our loved ones who are in care facilities have access to voting, and that is critical. But those who, again, who are helping those people should make sure that they are following the law, correct? And I think those are the things that we're hearing about from our constituents is, again, making sure that the guidance WEC gives and then our clerks have the correct guidance that follows the statute.
Do you think election commissioners broke the law?
You know, that's a question for, a different branch of government to answer. But going forward, we need to make sure that we change the law to make sure that the recommendations that the Joint Audit Committee looked at through the work of Joe and his team, it becomes law. And then there's no question one way or another.
What should happen with the Wisconsin Elections Commission? Do you have ideas and changes?
I've served under many different, the first one was the Elections Board, then it became, GAB, and now it's WEC. So again, that will be for the next legislature to decide how it looks.
Mm-hmm. Governor Evers ended up vetoing a lot of the Republican-sponsored mm-hmm. bills that came out of that election administration audit. What is he not understanding?
Again, just look at it. It's a nonpartisan legislative service agency's audit, and the recommendations are very clear in many different cases. So again, it is unfortunate that he vetoed those just, simple bills that really made it clear what the law should be.
Do you think there's harm in that?
Going forward, just being through an election and watching the process, and again, in Kenosha, we had a couple votes or elections decided by one vote. So, again, going forward, I hope that the new governor, whoever that might be, will work with the legislature to pass the bills.
You talked a lot about bipartisanship during your race for Kenosha County Executive, and you've talked about bipartisanship during your time in the legislature and attempted where you could find that agreement. Has it gotten harder in this sort of hyper-partisan environment over the last few years?
It is, and if I can give other legislators, new legislators coming in, just a piece of advice, reach out to somebody you might not know. Take that opportunity maybe to go visit somebody's district that doesn't look like your district and finding areas of common ground that you can work together. That is the one thing that is so special about the legislature. You have 99 members in the assembly and 33 in the Senate, and they all bring different backgrounds, different ideas. I was talking about Chris Taylor the other day, former representative who's now judge. We philosophically have many different beliefs, but we talked a lot about our kids. Our kids were born around the same time, had difficult pregnancies together. She wasn't in the legislature when she had her children. But we talk about that and build those relationships with people who you might be able to debate on the floor, but at the end of the day, walk off and ask how the family's doing, how are your children doing. Find those areas where you can agree.
Why do you think it's gotten harder over these last 20 years?
It's just hard. There used to be times where there were social engagements outside of, your legislative duties where you went across the street and you solved things on a lunch napkin. That doesn't happen as much. So I hope, you know, and plus the last 2 years with COVID, the new legislators that came in, you know, weren't able to go out and have those conversations outside of the building where you could really, you know, find out what's their inspiration or why they ran for office, those kinds of things.
Where you find commonalities. Mm-hmm. There's also been a historic number of retirements in the legislature. You're one of them. We have a slide showing what the number is currently. I think the tally's still growing every day. Yeah. 9 Dems and 13 Republicans leaving the Assembly. 3 Dems and 3 Republicans leaving the Senate. That's a total of 28. Now, some are going on to different offices or running for a different seat in the legislature. But what do you think happens when the legislature loses that institutional knowledge? You said you've worked in the legislature since you were an intern just out of college.
Right. Since 1995, you know, Brewer Stadium debate, it is hard because a lot of times, you know, people would reach out to me and say, Sam, what happened during this discussion? Or, you know, do you remember, you know, some of the debate on the floor on this discussion? So that is hard when you lose that institutional knowledge. People who were such leaders, you know, again, the Great Lakes Compact, Representative Scott Gunderson from the Racine area, you know, those types of things where legislators became such experts in areas. But again, hopefully new people will step up and fill those roles. Coming forward. Again, that there's 28 people that are coming in that might bring different backgrounds, different ideas.
Also, your Rolodex, I'm sure. We talked about your current struggle with your phones and your contacts and how do you manage that. I would imagine over these years, you've developed a list of people that you can just pick up the phone and call.
Correct. And that's the thing that I want to bring forward to my new role. And again, even though I might not be here in Madison representing the 61st Assembly District, I still have a part. And I love the institution, the building itself. It is what makes our state great.
What are you most proud of from your time in the legislature? Gosh, I told you I was
going
to ask this question.
I know, and there's not one thing though, because you can't pinpoint it, and that's the hardest part. You know, silos of doing things for Kenosha County, working with the former county exec, some of the great wins that we've brought home to our county. The areas where children and families, I served on that committee for many, many years, working with foster care, adoption, and all those types of programs that really protect our children. Or, you know, again, just, you know, the great things that I was able to do over the 22 years.
Some of the big headlines during your time, the last time you sat down for Newsmakers 2018, we were talking about Foxconn.
Yep.
How do you look back on the history of Foxconn?
Foxconn is still there. It's about 1,000 employees that work there every day. It's just one of those businesses along the interstate that people are employed with. But again, we have, like I said, Haribo coming online that actually was announced before Foxconn and yet hasn't, they're not open yet. So again, people forget those types of things. We have Amazon, Uline, all the great companies that we have.
So everybody should move to Kenosha County.
They should.
What about the Hard Rock Casino and Hotel, Kenosha County? I know you've been asked about that. People think you're going to breathe life into that.
You know, again, the Menominee have always been supportive of them and their proposal. Hard Rock, when they came on to the proposal years ago, again, the people still talk about it, you know, not regularly, but, you know, I still get asked about it. So, again, the Menominee people have become part of my family.
So we might expect to see some work on that?
You know, again, it's up to them. They're the ones that have a proposal. You know, they have to work on the proposal.
So one thing you're most excited about in your new role?
Oh, gosh, just bringing my experience back to Kenosha. There are a lot of things that I want to do going forward over the next 4 years, working with the county board to set the course.
What will you miss most about your time in the legislature?
You know, people talk a lot about the drive, you know, from home here. I'm going to miss that because I got a lot of phone calls in during my drive time.
There was office time?
There was a lot of office time. I'm going to miss coming, you know, and being a part of a family up here of, you know, 99 members that bring diverse things. So I'm really going to miss that.
What do your boys say? What does your family say about this? This is going to be a little bit of a shift for them.
You know, when I was elected, I wasn't married. So in my span, I got married, had two wonderful boys, and now they're 16 and 14 and, you know, looking to colleges in the near future, what they want to do. My oldest wants to be a psychologist, and my youngest wants to be an agricultural engineer. So I don't know if that path is completely set, but, you know, I, over the years, I've gotten to know a lot about chickens because we're 4-H parents, so again, that's where the agricultural engineer comes in. So again, just watching my kids home and then what they want to be in the future. And making, you know, again, having Kenosha a place to where they maybe go away to college, but yet come back and raise a family. That really is important to me, too.
What are your words of advice for the person who takes the seat that you've held for all of these years?
When I took over back from Representative Cloyd Porter, who served the area for 28 years. He had 30 years of service because he was on the town board before that. I had really big shoes to fill because Cloyd and Joe Andrea, the former late Joe Andrea, and him, Democrat and Republican, state senator, state representative, worked together so closely. And sometimes they even bunked with Tommy Thompson. I've heard the stories. So they got a lot done for Kenosha. So that to the new representative that comes in, working with, the other representatives, Representative Onstead and McGuire, Senator Wongard, Senator Wirch, on the other side it's Senator Nass and Representative August, working together for what's best for the community. That's what I hope. I go to lots of events, so it is hard in the new role trying to transition of what events to go to. I've gotten invited to even more events over the last 2 weeks here. So just trying to figure that out, and I hope that the new representative will really find value in the outreach in the community and listening to the people in the community.
What do you think are the biggest challenges that you're going to face in this new role?
You know, the economy is the unknown. You know, on the national level, so I'm watching that very, very closely. Because, again, as we plan our budgets, a lot of it is impacted by our sales tax and our levy. So those are the things that I'm watching going forward.
How does your legislative experience play into your ability to address that?
Well, I think watching what different markets, you know, like the housing market, for instance, we have a workforce shortage like many communities throughout the state and across the country to house those employees that we need to work in those jobs. But as inflation upticks here, and that is something that I'm really watching on a regular basis to see how those numbers trend.
Predictions for November elections? Everybody's wondering.
Oh, I know. It's an exciting time. I've just been through one.
You're glad that's over.
I am. So again, it's fun to watch from afar and help friends. And again, you know, as people are deciding who their candidates are, you know, going out and making sure that people are involved. Get involved. If you find a candidate that you really believe in, knocking on the doors helps, helping them go to events and parades over the next several months here.
Well, we really thank you for being with us today. Yeah, thank you for your service, and good luck in your new role.
Well, thank you for having me today. I appreciate it.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrell Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civics broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.